There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And this hour, like all the other hours, the phone number, 343-0106. 343-0106 for a phone call or a text. And if you're like a lot of y'all in the last couple months have downloaded the FM Talk 106.5 app, when you're there on the front page, landing page, whatever the heck they call it, the page, like the main page, down at the bottom, you'll see a microphone icon. If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. So check that out. And thank you. People are now working on my TSA, PSA song. And now with the addition of maybe redoing my Adidas, we at least have two cuts on the TSA's Greatest Hits album. And with that, I bring this man knows some TSA. Although he's got, I'm sure, every fast pass scan.
It's all consensual, though.
Yeah. Fast pass scan, whatever to get through, because the time he spends in the air. It is my buddy, first of all, president of Meridian U.S., a Marine, Jonathan McConnell, joining us in the studio. Thank you for being here.
Always good to be here. Always good to see you, Sean.
So, as we get started here, so TSA changes here. No shoes off, no?
Yeah, it's we've got to cover up. So we've got to give the press something to talk about since we're not going to release the Epstein files. So, you know, like it's...
Listen, who's talking about Epstein?
According to the president, no
Ep
one.
Who?
Ep
what?
Tell you what, runs a great daycare.
I can't with you, McConnell. I cannot.
I know. We're not even drinking. It's crazy. No,
which, by the way, what are we drinking?
So I ordered an entire pallet of these. Okay. Ardor Energy. All it is
tropical mango.
I try to get fruity sometimes.
And by the way, when he says he orders whole pallets, he sends me pictures there at the Meridian U.S. office where they drop off pallets of energy drinks. This one is, so it's sparkling water with theanine?
Oh, I don't know how to pronounce it. I know how to pronounce
theanine
caffeine.
And caffeine.
It's 100 milligrams of caffeine. Okay, so that's what I go for. No sugar.
No sugar, which I don't do the sugar, right? So that's not bad.
No, yeah.
Not bad.
Cleanest energy you can do. And if you buy a pallet of them, it's like $1.70 a can, as opposed to like if you buy it in Whole Foods, it's like $3.30. So buy a pallet.
I'll split a pallet with you going forward.
All right, sounds
good. If I can switch this out for the Coke Zeros, I'll be doing so.
Way better for you. No aspartame.
I got to worry about my aspartame numbers.
Yeah.
I got good results from the doctor the other day, but my aspartame
they were lying through
the roof. Here, as we set this up, for people that have not heard Jonathan and I talk before, so Meridian U.S., your company, what do y'all do?
We are a maritime logistics firm, but we got started doing anti-piracy work off the coast of Somalia in the days following the hijacking of the Maersk Alabama. So we put that vertical of our business puts armed Marine and Army Special Forces veterans on board merchant ships to protect against piracy off Somalia.
Okay, this is, y'all remember that? I mean, the stories, of course, everybody knows Maersk Alabama, but that was one that got so much attention, but that wasn't a one-off. You've talked to me about how kind of they still will check, and there's a time that people weren't using security, and piracy went up. Duh.
Yep.
You start using security again, piracy goes down. But this is cool. Y'all, it's not just the engagements, but it's a lack of engagement. These are conversations Jonathan and I have had off air that they're testing. They'll come up looking at a ship, right?
They're extremely sophisticated. I mean, you look at, so it's interesting.
They're casing a ship.
That's right.
Way.
Yeah, so it was interesting. Sunday, the Houthis hit the Magic Seas, and they sunk it.
Is that the Greek ship?
It was a Greek Greek ship. So they hit that vessel. The crew got off, were picked up by another company or another Chinese vessel passing by. And then the Houthis went and decided to film a nice little video on it. They're trying to get
which y'all,
their
I've
TikTok
seen,
ratings are amazing.
This
I love
is,
it.
So Jonathan sends me this. It is like the way in the next couple of weeks we'll get an Auburn and Alabama hype video before
that's
the
right.
season starts. Y'all, this is a Houthi hype video.
Oh, that's right, man. Goats were going wild all across the Middle East over this. They were puckering. It was crazy.
I thought you were not going to do that on today's show.
I'm sorry. I was radicaling.
But this is, so. And I want to get to that because one of the things that's changed here, but back, you know, when it was just straight piracy, they would come and test and see if there was security on a ship or not, right? And you would, once y'all made yourselves, it's not like you had to engage people that often. Once they saw that, y'all were on board, they turn around and go back to shore.
Or hit the next vessel. That was always kind of fun. If you knew that another one wasn't there, that we would...
That's going to be the best advertising ever.
Oh, absolutely. And then you're sitting there listening on the radio. Is that captain's like calling, freaking out, saying they're getting attacked by pirates? And you're just like, well, that's why you hire security teams.
So that was... I mean, that's been, and that still probably will always be, an undercurrent there. Changes now, you got people like the Houthis that aren't just out for getting whatever's in the ship, you know, and taking it back in and raiding it, they're wanting to, it's terrorism.
Yeah, it's terrorism. So they're
from piracy to terrorism. Yeah,
that's right. So they sunk another ship this morning, the Eternity Sea. So they, and they're actually, what, I think still 16 crew members in the water that they have not found. So they rescued four, but I think that, you know, that search is ongoing. Not a whole lot of coalition vessels are necessarily responding at that point. Because
don't we have, I mean,
we have two
heck, it's up on Twitter, so I can say we have assets,
yeah, we have
a lot
of
assets in the area.
But obviously they're, you know, honestly, like, why would you put a vessel in, why would you put a U.S. naval vessel in harm's way I think what we do at this point, we just back up and then just put warheads on foreheads and just and make sure we incentivize them not to do this.
Well, so they I have not we attacked had this breakthrough. I thought that
we did.
It was
so if
and they're not hitting U.S. flags, which there's very few U.S. flags.
There's not
ships.
Been a U.S. flag vessel that's gone through there since December.
And that area you told us before to describe, this is like a pinch point there.
Yeah, so it's the Straits of Bab el-Mandeb. It's like a 16 to 20 miles strait that separates Yemen and Djibouti. So it's a very small choke point, but it's also the Red Sea. I mean, so they're not getting hit in the strait. They're getting hit in the Red Sea. That's about...
Oh, they're not getting them in the strait. They're waiting for the
it's
open.
It's about 50 miles south of Hodeidah. So like essentially the Yemen and the Saudi border is
okay.
Where they are. So
that's interesting. You figure just with munitions, just like the way, I mean, look at Fort Morgan and Fort Gaines, you know, back in the day, and the way they had what they called torpedoes back then, the mines to force the people out in the channel so they couldn't get below the guns, and you could dial your guns in for that. You think, I think I'd be trying to...
Well, I think, that, so they don't necessarily control that part of Yemen. Southwest Yemen, Hodeidah is more the area they do, or Hodeidah is where they more...
So they're
control.
Launching, so we had this, yeah, so nothing since December. Trump comes out and said, like...
Trump bombs the mess out of them as soon as he gets in because they had been terrorists, during that period. I think what's happening is Iran is so afraid to do something right now because mm-hmm. we just mm-hmm. did quite a number on them. The Houthis are a proxy of Iran, and so they are incentivized to do something and almost to fight back. And they're saying it's in the name of Israel, but I would say this is more Iran afraid to do something directly, but like, hey, you know, our spiritual brothers, why don't you fight the great evil of America?
But wouldn't their liaison, the handler, for lack of a better term, the Iranian IRGC handler for the proxies, didn't he get room temperature?
All of them did. Most of them did, yes. But I mean, like, it's like whack-a-mole. You hit one, another one pops up. So it's therefore you don't have the consistency, right?
Right.
So I think that's kind of what was going on there.
All right, coming back, more Jonathan McConnell right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 118, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Let's check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and find out what's new at the shop. Hey, Anna.
How you doing?
great. What you got? What's brand new? Somebody maybe who's been in, hadn't been in there in a week or two. What you got for them to look at?
Well, we just got in these. It's like a set of two coins that they released a few years ago. It's Godzilla and King Kong. There were some other coins in the collection, too. I'm actually going to post those on Facebook in just a moment after I get off the radio with you. We also got a gold ring that spins around. It's got, like, diamonds and they
like a Tilt-A-Whirl or something?
No, but it's a ring that I think would be perfect for someone that likes to fidget with things or, you know, play with things while they're at work. You know, I shouldn't say anything, but yeah, I have fun with that one. It was cute.
So take it and away then, from Anna. So she's become, go buy it so she'll be productive at work.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, my hard work paid off after I was fidgeting with the spinner ring, yes. And we also got the new coin or silver round in the Warrior series, Leonidas the First. And Pope Leo as well. We have a Pope Leo silver round now if you wanted to give someone a gift.
Very,
that would be perfect.
Very cool. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. You can find us on Facebook, our website, mobilecoins.com, or call the shop, 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Anna.
Thank you.
All right, Anna checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, Jonathan, I had a, talking about the fidget, I had a late family member. This show you some of my roots, who had his on his gold chain. So he has two gold chains, one with a crucifix, the other one, a working, not working, not like it shot, but it was a 38 snub nose gold, and the cylinder would move and the hammer would come back. It was like yay big, which I know that doesn't work on radio, like half an inch big, but it would actually. So his kids were like, make it do the thing.
I had a buddy of mine who has one that is the belt buckle, like the Derringer, whatever, like belt buckle pistol, and it like is an actually functioning
pistol.
It
comes out?
Yeah, and I'm just like, and like people think it's decorative or whatever. And
right.
Like, and like he is like, he's worn that to like balls and stuff like that. Like the, like, and you know, I'm just like, well, you know, it's a good thing that he's got some good connections if that ever has an issue. So it's quite funny.
Like, hey, the guy with the belt buckle, keep an eye on him.
Yeah. Okay, I think you should always be able to say that, actually.
You and I were talking this when the break, and we talked during the break about, you know, what the Houthis are using, first of all, like the sinking of these two ships. Like,
that's right.
They're using what?
So they use two drones, aerial drones, on the one on Sunday, and then four of the surface drones. Two actually struck. The first one hit and got a sympathetic ignition from the cargo, which is fertilizer, and the other one actually struck the fuel tank. So that's what actually caused the one of the fuel tanks, and that's what caused the crew to abandon ship quite quickly, actually.
Yeah, diesel and fertilizer. I'm around that quite a bit in my job. And that's,
okay, Mr. McVeigh.
Yeah.
It can be very bad. But they abandoned ship, and it was sunk later on Monday. And then, of course, we had another one this morning that was attacked. 16 crew members still sitting in the water somewhere and unaccounted for.
Right now.
Right now, yeah.
And so what these drones are using, while you said we pulled back, but early on we'd respond with those with a missile.
Yeah, $2 to $3 million missile, and they've got a $20,000 to $20,000 drone.
I mean, I'm no math magician, Jonathan, but like that,
yeah,
we lose
that up. Yeah, we lose that every day. Like we lose the battle of economics on that every single day. So to me, you know, there's
keep
not
the
many
missiles for missile stuff. I mean, I'm the civilian. You know, you're the Marine, but here I am. Keep the missiles for missile worthy targets, and then let's get us some of those $25,000 drones to fight back on the drone stuff.
That's right. Or, you know, GBO, the general purpose bombs, those are absolutely wonderful at, you know, drop them from 40, 50,000 feet and just, and be like, you know what? It's a warm pink mist, right? We've talked about that before.
Yes.
That was one of your favorite phrases.
Yes. One of your
McConnellisms.
Yes. So, McConnellisms.
Marinisms.
But it just seems to make sense to, I mean, you fight fire with fire.
That's right.
You know, I mean, we're striking with things like certain situations. Thank God we got that kind of technology. But day in and day out, why don't we have? I mean, the damn Houthis got the drones. The drones the Iranians were selling the Russians with the Shahid.
Correct. So the drones are coming from China, from Russia. From
DJI,
Iran.
Like the drone I have in my house. At my house, like the little.
All right, supporting the chi-coms. Go ahead.
It's been it's 10 years old. Yeah. So, but yes.
Are you Jeffrey Epstein? Oh, you're talking about the drone. Never mind.
Yeah. Sorry. You're killing me, McConnell. But China moved in, and there's a big thing. Y'all can go look at the stories where they said, we're not letting our drones be used for military or whatever, my foot.
Yeah, that seems right. They are gaining so much technology. They're figuring out, I mean, so that is,
we're talking about making most of the drones, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, the majority of them in this country. I mean, so like, I mean, China, obviously, you know, like the Chinese people are not bad. And the Chinese government is just not, like, they are trying to usurp us as the world superpower, right? And so if you look at what they said in 2003, what they were going to do, they're going to dominate rare earth metals, they're going to dominate the battery market, the drone market, the critical infrastructure of manufacturing market, and they have executed that to a T. Yeah. They're doing a great job. So how do we take that back? I mean, we were talking about this a moment ago, that the General Dynamics was given $1 billion to build a 155 artillery shell facility, manufacturing facility right outside of Dallas. And I'm like, give me $1 billion and I will work for free. I'll do it for $1 profit. Give me $1 billion and I will invest all of that except for that $1 because I'm going
to
keep it.
That's right. We're taking the boats and we're going to double it, man. Well,
that's right. That's right. As long as it's your luck, not mine. and then at least with gambling. And then and I will make at least try to rival what they're doing with DJI.
Because we have this big idea, even the Biden administration, and now Trump, we're going to onshore the chip building. It's all in Taiwan. We're going to bring all these things back. How about what is, once again, from a civilian perspective, but talking to you, looks like it is not just the future. I mean, it's the now of warfare out there.
That's right. Yeah, no.
We've got drones. Yes, we have drones. We got big, you know, we got Reapers. We got all the, I'm talking about $25,000 drone, the expendable drones.
I'm talking about an $800 drone, yeah, that I just put a charge on it and I run it into your chest.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's how you take out everybody. I mean, take out every single person. All right, so I do think, like, we're not, that is the good side of our intervention or our involvement in the Russia-Ukraine war. So we figured out on day two, when we started helping them with our capabilities, we're like, oh, so now let's run a drone without a GPS because you just block all the GPS. Mm-hmm. You just take a microwave and turn it inside out. Mm-hmm. Hey, guess what? GPS doesn't work anymore.
Right.
So now you've got to figure out how to do it through other ways. Now you've got AI that's operating out there that's now reading topographical maps and recognizing terrain and now is able to operate independently now. So, I mean, that stuff is out there. DOD, Defense Innovation Unit, all of that is being involved in that. So it's not as bad as, like, you know, we're like listening to the parade of horribles that Fox News preaches every single night on the radio on TV by saying, like, oh, it's the end of the world because we're not all just completely investing all of our money in, you know, the dinosaurs of Northrop Grumman, you know, General Dynamics, stuff like that. We are being smart about it. But what I want to see is mass production of, I want $2 million or 2 million drones a month. Like, mm-hmm. I want so many drones that we're just like, hey, you know, we're going to start using them as target practice during skeet shooting because mm-hmm. we got so many of them. But hey, you know what? Why not? Because we need that capability.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to, I mean, there's 1.2 billion Chinese. I remember when they said that in high school and they were like, mm-hmm. and my teacher was like, you know, it takes a long time to kill that many people. He's like, you eventually walk them all off a cliff, they fill up the cliff. Mm-hmm. And you're like, ooh, I mean, how many bullets? I mean, during Vietnam, that was one of the highest rates of casualties we had per bullet was Vietnam, like that we inflicted on our enemies. Like the Civil War was amazing because it was so low because people actually didn't want to kill their enemy because it was brother versus brother. Mm-hmm. Vietnam was so high, but it still was in like the teens. Well, now, so magnify it times five. Let's say they hit 20% with the Chinese. Five times 1.2 billion. Do we have that many bullets in this world? I mean, I've
got close to that.
Yeah, I'd say that's right.
But we'd have to donate. And
yeah, well, and I'm not donating any more to the government. Come on, let's be honest. Donate enough with taxes. So. And way too libertarian for that.
Oh, by the way, whatever happened, Terry asked, whatever happened to training Golden Eagles to attack the drones in the air? Golden Eagles are really
cool.
They
still do that, yeah. No, they did that with... they still do that in Oman and like Middle East and stuff like that. But Auburn took them off so they can fly them around their stadium. So like that. Sorry, that's done. I'm joking. So,
all right. The problem is we can sit here and talk about this now. For it to get traction and to grease palms and go through Washington, this $1 billion investment into drone technology. And I say it's not happening in 5 years. Right? I mean, I'm just being cynical, but
no, you're where is the major manufacturing going? I do not know. You know, I mean, I think it's absolutely amazing. You know, I wish that I do love that Bollinger and that Austell and that, you know, we are producing these giant ships, but if I'm the enemy and I can take out your ship with a $10,000 missile or something like that, and you're what was the program called on these littoral combat ships? I mean, like, Yeah. Like, what is the cost of the last cost of the aircraft carrier was $17 billion, and you take that out with, I don't care if it's a $40 million missile. Yeah. That's a heck of a rate of return.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Russia-Ukraine, and on the naval assets here, the submarine drones taking out $1 billion worth of the Black Sea Fleet.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, technology's changed just the way somebody now can have a voice to the world through the internet and didn't have to have a TV show like before. Somebody could have a $40,000 drone and compete with somebody that has a $3 million missile.
That's right. Yeah. It's scary.
All right. We're going to be crowdsourcing money for our drone plant when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile 343-0106. Get you through on the text line or the phone line. My guest, my buddy Jonathan McConnell, Marine, President, CEO, Emperor of Meridian U.S. Emperor, is that fair?
Yeah, you know, it's great because it comes with free caffeine.
That's right. It does. Well, and I'm enjoying one right now. Well, I like this thing.
Dude, you know, like, it's just...
Like it?
I lost 52 pounds by just cutting all sugar out.
Did you really?
That's right.
Is that how much?
52 pounds in 2 months.
Well, you did not in 2 months.
I did.
You did 52... Y'all, hold on 1 second. Jonathan and I are having... 52?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah. It's called hazing. It's a beautiful thing. It works.
I've cut the sugar out.
You look great, yeah.
Put on some LBs, but, you know, well, Coors Light is not as light as it could be. But this stuff's, yeah, stuff pretty good. I always drank Diet Coke and then Coke Zero, but I realized the numbers.
That's right.
There was some story out the other day that said, like, I don't know, millennials or whatever, their new smoke break, they call it like a refrigerator cigarette, and that means Diet Coke. And they started talking about some of these millennials are drinking 4 or 5 a day. I'm like, child's
rookie
play.
Numbers. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
No, I mean, I agree.
So it's not good for you.
Wait, so this is my best attempt at kidney, like avoiding kidney stones. That's kind of what I'm, you know, it's working.
It's a motivator.
Equipment. I'm like, I can't even have any size kidney stone. No, it'd be rough.
I've just heard stories of them. I want no part of them.
That's right. Iran. Yeah.
Let's talk about the strikes because, you know, you were traveling and we're talking back and forth and watching the strikes in Iran. Your thoughts on that? Did we send them back 30 years, 30 minutes, 3 weeks?
I think Israel's Mossad will figure that out and tell us, or maybe they'll tell us, but they'll figure out where if the nuclear materials got out and they
shouldn't we get a signature? I mean, if we had accomplished something and we had a failure there, a centrifuge, wouldn't there be a signature, a radiation signature on the surface we could pick up? A
couple hundred feet under the ground?
I don't know. Doesn't it leak out?
I do not know. You're talking to a dumb infantry marine here. So the dumbest. I don't have that. We can't. I lick a really good window. That's all I'm saying. I was thinking about doing a window cleaning business. I'll tell you what.
I got some crayons for lunch for you after this.
As long as they're red.
Yeah, you can eat them.
I don't know that. But, like, I do think that if we could have pitched a perfect game, President Trump did it because we were able to do a strike to let them know that, hey, like, you, we gave you 60 days to negotiate. You didn't do it within that time. He went in. We didn't have a single casualty. We got some job done, hopefully the best job done. The best job. You know,
there's never been a better job.
That's right. And I commanded it. Yeah. And then we got out and they quote unquote retaliated to save face and all that type of stuff, which is a very Arab Persian thing to do.
Yeah.
And then we did, like, we allowed them to respond and we're like, we're not even gonna respond to that. And it's over, supposedly, you know, maybe not, you know, but, like, wow, what success. Not a single boot on the ground.
But no, and the success too. And I've talked about this. I know you and I have, I mean, hats off, not just Mossad, which is winning the, you know, the CFP every year for intelligence.
That's right.
They win the championship. But
they spike the football sometimes just because they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to do
Mossad this. Mossad is so good.
They are.
But their airstrikes to the fact that, I mean, everybody says, well, the B-2s, they can't see. Yeah, but the supporting aircraft have a radar signature, and they didn't get not a thing up from the ground for anti-aircraft.
Israel had taken all that out.
They had paved a flight path straight in there.
They had Israel had really done the world a favor there and was taking out Iran's nuclear capability, or taking out their air defenses so that we could go through and eliminate their nuclear capability. I mean, you look at, you know, what, does everybody have a right to have a nuclear capability? No.
But if you want to stay in power, you do.
Yeah. Well, and so
Gaddafi.
So let's look at, name me a single protest in the United States by Americans that has said death to Iran or death to any type of civilization or death to... Name me a protest in the West that has done that.
We did have the song back in the 80s, bomb, 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 Iran.
That's right. Iran. But that was just too catchy. Like, yeah. You know, like, you don't mean everything you say, right? You know, like, I mean...
You did have the bomb. But other than that, no, we did not. It was... Right now, it seems like a success. Of course, you know where I come, my isolationist, but I want to keep you all home. I didn't want it. I'm not worried about it going to the next level.
Well, so let's say if they got nuclear capabilities, right? And then they continued the rhetoric, and they're like, I mean, what if they did one day? Like, what if they decided to hold the world hostage with, like, hey, you know, like, we want this, or we're going to nuke, you know, Israel, or we're going to nuke this? When you have such dangerous rhetoric as, like, Israel should be pushed into the sea from the, you know,
or
you know, death to America. Like, I mean, when you have all that type of stuff, like, hey, you know what? Yeah. Like, I love the FOFO.
Mm-hmm.
Mess around, find out.
Mess around,
you know, like, and it's just like, hey, like, good. You know, like words mean something. The problem with social media nowadays is that people are really tough until you get in their face and you're like, hey, words have consequences.
Right.
You know, like, and like, you want to do that, we're going to hit you.
Yeah. Well, and with that, what I was really hoping for, and I went back to thinking about the Green Revolution in Iran and the stones on, I mean, you know, people protest a lot of places. If you stand on the street and protest the theocracy in Iran, you're brave. Yep. You're brave.
That's right.
A lot of those people got disappeared, but I wonder how many are left. I just wondered if in those strikes or whatever else Mossad could do, could they weaken the structure there power structure enough in the IRGC enough that those, there's going to be elements, Persian folks that don't like the way it's going. Would they weak enough and let them do a regime change?
That's right.
That
would be a perfect
without
scenario.
Us messing, like, I put the ball on the 40 instead of the 20, y'all go.
That's right. Well, you know, like, but so I do think that there's a large part of the population that is, I mean, you look at Iran in the 70s, and like, it was a very normal civilization, and now it's ninjas everywhere, right? Oh, on the female side.
Yeah.
And maybe some lacking and lonely males. But, you know, like, you look at that, and, you want that for those people, but
are those people washed out, or are they still there? That's what I'm wondering.
How many are still there?
I mean, I think the Green Revolution showed me there were some people still there that stood up to it, and we didn't do anything.
Yeah. But I don't want... America is not in charge of emplacing democracy everywhere we go. And so here's the thing.
Like I said, I want to keep y'all home.
That's right. And can we be like America? It's an experiment called democracy. And let's see if it works. We have an incredible economy. Like, we have the world's largest economy for now. And I hope we can keep it that way. But let's be that shiny beacon on the hill. Mm-hmm. And let's continue to be that. And you know what? If you want to follow suit and take our practices, and just like J.D. Vance said in Munich in February, let's protect freedoms and let's offer that. But we can only be the beacon on the hill to do that. I do not want to even imply, like, I think Europe is screwed. Their immigration policy is absolutely abysmal. I'm sorry, we're going to watch 10 to 15 years from now, and you're going to see what that's done to their policies. The fact that we're in debt, Europe's in debt. They've got some unfunded entitlements as well. Right. And the debt's entirely, it's not just a show. It's 3 days worth of talking straight and a lot of caffeine. And I would actually consider nicotine at that point, probably, if I was going to try to solve it. But there are so many problems out there. America is incredible. Name me one company in the last 50 years that has become a Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 company that was started in Europe. I'll give you Britain too, like Europe or Britain. Name one company.
There's not one. They're legacy companies that are there.
Sorry,
but not,
legacy companies, but it was started in the last 50 years.
Yeah, I don't. It may be there, but I'm not aware of it.
Yeah, we're like next to Israel. We're the most innovative country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at per capita, Israel's actually more innovative per capita, based off their population. They are a startup nation. Mm-hmm. It's quite incredible because I think it's actually because of their mandatory military service, because they go and they learn. I mean, they're the most innovative. Obviously, their intelligence network is incredible. And they're guys, there's a population that fights with their back to, mm-hmm. to the ocean. And they've got to be.
That puts tar on your heels.
That's right. And there's no, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to grow up and play basketball, you know, for life, or play football, or do this. It's like, no, I'm going to survive. Like, mm-hmm. and that is why I think they're the most innovative nation. I think that under my belief system, I believe that they're God's chosen people. I'm a Christian, and that is very hard. Like, I don't get it under my Christian beliefs. Like, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life, and you know, there's no way to the Father except for through Him. But then you're like, well, why? What about them? I'm like, well, I've been to Israel and I've seen what they've done, and I think they're God's chosen people. It doesn't make sense according to the Bible, according to like my beliefs, but I'm like, no, they're God's chosen people. They are.
And it's tougher for me. I look at it and I say, does that mean it's also defense of Israel in its current borders? Meaning, and this is where I start trouble with people, which is why I had to sit out in the hallway during Sunday school a lot.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. My question is that, okay, so let's say you go with biblical interpretation, God's chosen people are the Jews. Does God make a decision whether we're going to move this Israeli border into the West Bank this way, or we're going to have this partition? That's the things I talk about. And the Israelis sometimes do things. I go, and then people say, well, they can do that. They're God's chosen people. Did God get in the decision-making of, well, we're going to take in this area of the Golan Heights because it's strategic for, you know, terrorists to shoot? I mean, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, that's like policy, and they wrap it up in the biblical thing. I'm like, well, but maybe in this case, we should disagree with Israel on something that I might see as being provocative, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And, you know, I mean, like, well, the Golan Heights, first of all, are extremely strategic. And
they are.
Standing on top of them, I just was like, yeah, I'd probably want this land too. And I agree with you.
Like settlements and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at it and you're like, hey, listen, you know, like, if your neighbors behave, then settlements may, like, allowing, you know, Palestinian settlements or whatever settlements, I mean, like, that may be okay. You know, and you would want those, maybe they can coexist, but you've got to buy into coexisting. And right now, I mean, you look at what happened on October 7th, the majority of the people in Gaza, I don't think believed in coexisting. I mean, that was one of the worst things that, I mean, like, the fact that Hamas still has hostages mm-hmm. means that they are not even allowed at the negotiating table in my book. Like, release them. You know, I wish that they would have followed Eric Prince's advice. And like, Eric Prince, as soon as all that happened, like, you know, went to Netanyahu, went to, you know, to Biden and said, use the fracking technology that we have in Texas and use that, like, basically turn the Mediterranean Sea into those tunnels and float the rats out of the tunnels. And then at that point, you're fighting everybody on the ground and it's mm-hmm. going to be a completely different war. And they didn't do it, and they should have. Not to be the armchair quarterback.
Right.
But like, what they should have followed. I mean, Prince is an amazing human being, an amazing mind.
But one of the things he is, and remember, you and I talked about, I don't know if we did on air, but we talked about it back then about the flooding, the tunnels. But as much credit as I sit here as Mossad, and they win every year, how did they not see October 7th?
One of the biggest intelligence fumbles.
Because it's not like they just, if they screwed up so badly and now they're so good because, you know what, it's the football team lost and coach runs the hell out of you and makes you a great football team for the rest of the season. But they had been good before. Mossad had been really good before, if y'all don't remember. And then I don't get October 7th. Maybe my brain's not set up to understand how they missed that one.
My tiny little Alabama brain does not understand it either. But you know,
simple,
like,
folks, man.
I don't understand it, but like, you know, I will say this: they're playing chess right now, and the world's playing checkers, and thank goodness for that.
Okay, coming right back, we'll wrap it up here with Jonathan McConnell and see if he finishes that. Have you finished your drink yet? Mine's almost gone. Just saying. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Like Talk 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday edition of the show. A good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And you were teasing us with some new vehicles that were on the way on Monday. Did they arrive?
Yeah, everything's here. We've got some really nice, we've got a little, another Silverado came in. So that we've got two or three Silverados, a couple, three Sierras. And then, you know, we keep a lot of Ford trucks and Ram trucks on the ground. We also got some late model stuff. Sean, I was just looking at, we got a 2021 Blazer with RS package. We got a 24 Malibu. We got a 24 Altima, which was one of those threes we talked about Monday. The Altima just got here and it's brand new. We got a 22 Ford Edge and we've got a 22 Ford Explorer. So we've got some nice late model stuff and some more, you know, inexpensive stuff.
All right. Let's talk about finding you online, which, I mean, people are like goofing off at the office. They can kind of look at the inventory or best to see you in person.
You got employees too, huh?
Yeah.
LCMMotorCars.com. That's where you go to check us out online. Everything online should have pictures, a free Carfax. Just give us a call and we can FaceTime you with a vehicle if you like it. We're at 251-375-0068. Or just come by and see us in person. We're on Highway 90 at Plantation, 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A.
Thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. And continuing our conversation, Jonathan McConnell, Meridian, U.S., and a man who spent time working for We the People in that neck of the woods and for himself in that neck of the woods in the Middle East. What's next? You know, I love this stuff. What's next? So Iran stays quiet? Or because I wonder, you know, I looked through the day after the strike, or that Monday. Strikes were on a Saturday, I think. And on that Monday, I went through my list of what could happen. Conventional, which they did. They did their, you know, save face thing. You go down the list. But, you know, we were just recently looking for an Iranian assassin, IRGC, in the country. How many people have come across the border? Do they strike that way? Do they team up with Fuzzy Bear or whoever the dang hacking group is out of Russia to go after infrastructure? I mean, do you think we get those kind of responses?
Infrastructure is getting attacked every single day. I mean, that's just how it's
There's
happening.
There's probing and testing, but you think they've made a full swing at the ball?
I think they've made probably 80% swings. I don't know if they've done the full swings, but I think that they will continue to do. So the response that they did, you know, the day after, which when they literally warned our troops and let us know, hey, we have to respond.
Yeah.
That was to save face so that the Ayatollah can stay in power.
Yeah, intra-Iran policy versus inter.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so they quote-unquote attacked, but I think they will go back to funding terrorism, and which is obviously Israel has eliminated Hamas, and well, mostly eliminated Hamas, pretty much gutted Hezbollah. Their only thing left is they've got is the Houthis. I don't think we have the intelligence apparatus in Yemen to effectively take it out,
but the Houthis,
we just don't care.
Out of all three groups, the Houthis got some time to travel to get in and affect Israel. I mean, they could affect ships coming to Israel, but it takes a lot for them to get into Israel.
That's right, and they shot two shots today or yesterday. I think they shot two missiles into Israel. Whether that made it through the Iron Dome, I haven't really seen a battle damage assessment on that. You know, I mean, Israel was hilarious. They took out the Galaxy Leader, which was hijacked in November of 2023. Yes, November of 2023, so almost 2 years ago. This vessel has been sitting in port in Hodeidah, and what the Israelis figured out is that the Houthis were using that to using the AIS and the radar to monitor ships coming through the Red Sea. So the Israelis just bombed it.
A second. So they used the technology on that merchant ship was better than what they had.
Yeah. And so they used that. So the Israelis took it out. Now, what I think actually probably happened was the owner of that Zodiac, the owner was like, hey, listen, it's probably an insurance claim right now, but they're saying the vessel's just laid up. Could you destroy it so I can make a full claim?
Yeah,
that's what
it.
I would do.
Yeah,
like, let's be honest.
Because you'd rather hear that the car's totaled so you can get something new, right?
That's right, yeah. Because if it's just in limbo, you don't get anything. Cash value, baby. You know,
yeah.
Like cash, time value.
Yeah, do they get replacement value or?
what happened to the cargo? You know, it was a car carrier. It was a car carrier. So
okay.
So we'll see.
And maybe new vehicles riding around.
No, it's not as bad as
that.
Yeah, we had that. There's a car carrier with a bunch of electric vehicles on it that sank off of Alaska a few weeks ago. So It's. I think what I'm going to get into is I'm.
Man, I wonder what the fishing was like. I mean, if they came up with the electric, you know, little shock. I mean,
electric eels are happy.
Yeah, but you think the old hand crank, you know, the way you used to telephone up fish with the electricity.
I've heard about that. I've never done it, Sean.
The stories. I've been on the state shock boats. It's pretty cool. But I imagine there's pretty good king salmon everywhere.
That's right. Yeah, I think about developing a business that just goes and hunts these containers that fall overboard. They don't sink, and they're just floating out in the middle of the Pacific during high rain. I'm just like, all right, well, I'm going to float these containers at least for a few minutes, cut a hole in the top, see what's down in there. And I'm like, if it's nothing, we'll just sink the container. But if there's something, we'll go in. That's how I'm going to pirate next.
You need a partner in that one?
Always, man.
Okay, you're
always welcome.
That's my kind of jam out there. But the what's next here? I mean, that they're trying. You think all's quiet? That's my big fear is being pulled into something else.
That's right. Well, you know, agreed. I don't. We're in a really nice, peaceful time right now. I think everybody's afraid of not just TDS like our Democrats here in this country, but I think the rest of the world is afraid of what Trump would do. And I think that's a really good spot to be in, frankly. It's kind of nice. And he is actually very anti-war for the most part.
Well, that's the thing I love, because he campaigned on it. That's one of the things I supported. I'm like, you know, this is good.
That's right. It's great. And so if we can keep that up, and let's say that, you know, like I'm kind of indifferent about Taiwan, no offense. It's not worth me sending my son. I love that boy more than anything in the world. And
right.
I'm not going to sign him up. I'm not going to sign him up to send him over to fight someone else's war. If they want to take Taiwan, whatever, you know, I don't really care. Like, I think the longer we wait, the more the demographics catch up with China, and the fact that their one-child policy ends up screwing them. Their economy is close to being screwed. But you know what? We don't want China to completely collapse, because they make 90% of the world's batteries.
Plus, we need a place to sell our movies to and all that. And they opened a new
and
Lego
the NBA. We should just give them the NBA.
Well said, Jonathan. Always great to see you,
man. Good to see you, brother.
All right, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Talk to you tomorrow.